Kingston Town can't win.
Bone Crusher and Al Waverley Star, stride for stride.
Cometh the hour, cometh the legend, Winks has done it.
Well, we're joined by Godolphin's main man on the ground in Victoria. That's what we're going with. Stable foreman Reg Fleming, you're a legend of the game, mate. Thanks for coming in today.
Yeah, well, I think you might be a bit disillusional, Ben. I'm no legend like I work for was, but not me.
Well, let's take it back to the very start now in racing. Why racing and how did you get into the great game?
My father was a trainer in Brisbane. He'd been in it all his life. He left home when he was 15, went and lived with Mel Barnes and actually lived with Darby McCarthy and progressed. He'd become a trainer. So that's how I progressed into this caper through my dad. And, yeah, that's how I got into it.
And you were Bart Cummings, obviously foreman, the champion trainer, and the only, one of only three trainers to have legend status in the Australian Racing Hall of Fame, five-time WS Cox Plate winner. What was he like as a person, Bart?
Bart was probably when there's one and not one, because I lived in his house here and he'd come up and have a look at the horses and then we'd go inside in the morning and have a cup of tea and then he'd come back and about 3 o'clock have a look at a few horses and he'd go back in and he'd have a few scotches and I'd have a few beers. Sometimes it turned into a lot of beers and a lot of scotches. So, but I got to know him pretty well after 18 years with him. He was very good to me, but he was a deep thinker, but when we were together, like, and even when Val's wife was there, we'd have a bit of banter and all that sort of stuff. He was very good to me and he was good company. He's a very intelligent fella, very, very intelligent. And you could see why he went to the heights he did, because he was so smart.
You might be biased in calling him the greatest trainer of all time, but is that your opinion and what made Bart so good?
Yeah, well, I worked for another guy here in Melbourne first called Tommy Hughes. And Tommy Hughes and Bart are the two best trainers I ever worked for. And they're both, like, they say there's TJ, CS and Bart. Well, Tommy Hughes, you can put him beside him. He's not out of that grade. He was a great trainer. And he was a good friend of Bart's, you know, as when they were growing up and that, until, and I think when Bart got inducted into legend status, he took Tommy Hughes with him to that night. So, yeah, they're both great trainers, and to me they are both legends. But Bart had a great eye. There was two rules he always taught me. There's two things in horse training. There's patience and and common sense, and he said a lot of people don't use them, and he said it costs nothing.
So very true.
Yeah, so that's one of the aspects of why he's so good.
And we mentioned he's a five-time WS Cox Plate winning trainer, including the likes of Targe Rossi in 1973, Saintly in 1996, Dane Ripper in 1997, and then obviously the great So You Think in back-to-back in 2009 and 2010. Starting with the horse from heaven, Saintly, what can you tell us about him and his Cox Plate victory? And obviously now that Darren Biedman was the jockey on the day and he's now working at Godolphin with you also now.
Yeah, he came down from Sydney. He'd run in the Metropolitan. He got beaten in the Metropolitan. But Bart knew he couldn't probably have a mile and a half run before the Melbourne Cup, like the Caulfield Cup, that. But he wanted him to have a 10 furlong race plus before the Melbourne Cup. But he had this race in mind here too. So he ran him in that race. He ran third and then he brought him down. He came in, he had bad feet, really bad feet, and the farrier, Dave Mingan, done a great job with him. He equiloxed his feet, and he was flying the horse. That whole spring, he was just absolutely flying. And we brought him here. He wobbled around the corner, coming to the corner. It was a red-hot field, too. He had a Falante and all our mob and juggler, and, you know, it was a really good field. And his class got him past him. You know, although he wobbled around the corner.
Late turn for home, and the whips are cracking. It's all our mob. Saintly, Juggler, and Philonde is a great go. 150 to go. Philonde, Saintly coming at it on the outside. Saintly getting up to Philonde, and Juggler the centre. Saintly on the outside. Philonde strikes back. Dead heat. Saintly may be a nose. Philonde, nothing in it.
But he was a great horse. And Australia never seen the best of him because he was finished by the early four-year-old. He'd bowed a tendon when he come back in the autumn after he won the CFO Stakes. But he was a great horse. And it would have been mouth-watering for the public because the next couple of years Might and Power come along. And the best years would have been for Saintly was when he was 5, 6, 7 and 8 because he was just starting to fill into himself. And although he's won a Cox Plate in the Melbourne Cup and he's a legendary horse, it's the best years we never got to see.
Speaking of legendary horses, we go on to So You Think. Firstly, his victory as a three-year-old in 2009 was unexpected to a lot of people. And the tale goes, Bart told Bossy, just don't lead. And Bossy went straight to the front and won the race. Tell us about that.
Well, what happened was he come down, that horse, and the first time I galloped him, Bart wasn't here. He was still in Sydney. And I rang him up and I said, this horse is roaring like a train, but I can hear him from the box at Flemington. He said, yeah, he's got a wind problem. That's why you got to keep the tongue tie on him. Anyway, so he went to the Caulfield Guineas. He jumps out. Anyway, he's back, and Emrod sort of like missed the gun. He didn't realise how far they were in front of him until he got to the corner. He said, I asked him to go at the half mile. He said, he gave me the best feel. He said, and I got around the corner and I looked up and he said, shit, that far in front, he'd missed the boat on him. Anyway, he got home and he ran fifth. It was a big run. Anyway, so we had this race here in mind all spring because we knew how good he was. So on the Sunday, Bart's at my place or his place. And he said, that's buggered us for the Cox Plate. I said, oh, you're kidding, aren't you? Like, surely we can get him in. He said, oh, because he hadn't won a Group 1, see. Anyway, I was disappointed. And I said, Jesus, Bart, this will be one we'll miss, you know what I mean? So I'm out for lunch that day on the Sunday, and he rings me, and he says, if you want that horse to run the Cox Plate, you better ring up some of your journalist mates. And he was half having a go at me because I never used to talk to the media much. Because when you work for Bart and Tommy Hughes, you kept your mouth shut and your ears and eyes open, you know what I mean? It was instilled in you. So I knew Adrian done pretty well. So I rang him and he said, well, you wouldn't believe it, Gay wants to run her horse too, Manhattan Rain. So he said, okay, he said, I'll drum something up. So in all fairness to him, the next day it was in the paper that, you know, so you're thinking Manhattan Rain would be a good another good, you know, story to this year's Cox Plate. And that's how he got in. And, and then I had a word to Bart. I said, the horse don't like the tongue tie. Hates it. When I used to go to put it on him, he'd lift his head. He knew what it was. And I said, he doesn't like it. And he said, if you want to take that tongue tie off him, get a trial, a jump out with some other horses, and we'll see how he goes about it on, right? So by that time, G Boss had got the ride. So I was going to get Stephen Arnold to ride him in the jump out. Anyway, Bossy came out the middle before this jump out, about 2 days before. I want to ride him. And I said, mate, he doesn't need a hard jump. I just want him just to go around, you know, have a look at him. So I reneged and I said, okay. So he rode him in the jump out, and Bart and I went up in the grandstand at Flemington. Bart's like, he's watching. He's like, what's he doing? And he sat back. Faint Perfume was in the jump out too. There was three of Maroney's and three of ours. And Bart's going, what's he doing? And he's sitting back. We said we didn't want to give him too hard a jump out. Well, he was allowed to let him roll up the last couple of furlongs. And he's run last. We had a couple of maidens and they beat him home, you know. And he said, he won't run it. So we got in the car and we went around the top of the tunnel to get Bossy and seeing what he reckons. Anyway, he'd gone. So Bart's trying to ring him. So we go back to his place or my place and he's trying to ring, couldn't get hold of him. So I made him a cup of tea and I turned the radio on. Here's Bossy on the radio. We didn't know that he had a gig with 927. to go in the morning on Friday mornings and talk about his rides. So that's why he wasn't answering. Anyhow, he finally answered, and Butts got off the phone. I said, "What did he say?" He said, "Beautiful colt, give me a great feel." He said, we're in business." So, and that's how come he ended up running this race.
Around the turn, So You Think. It's about a half in front of Manhattan Rain, and the three-year-olds lead by two or three. Who Be Got You running on with Heart of Dreams. So You Think led by two lengths. He shook off Manhattan Rain. Who Be Got You and El Segundo charging home, but it's all over. So You Think is going to go all the way. He's racing clear, and So You Think has bolted in the Cox Plate. Manhattan Rain ran second. The three-year-olds, Quinella.
And then in 2010, obviously he stabbed himself as the budded superstar, winning again, this time with Stevie Arnold aboard. Was that day the day you think he really kind of stamped himself as a champion?
Only when the Caulfield Stakes, I thought, geez, this is going to have to be a pretty good horse on Cox Plate day to beat this horse. Because he was only just getting better that prep, and we were really confident when we got here. We just thought, and I'd kept him away here because Bart was crook at the time, and I rang him up. He was in the hospital, I think, in Sydney, and I rang him up and I said, I don't really want to take him to the Valley. I want to work him at Flemington, right? So he said, oh, okay. So I worked him at Flemington, and lo and behold, More Joyous worked before us. She never come here too. And I was up in the grandstand. Anyway, he worked, and he always did. He always worked really good. And, he was just super that whole prep, you know. But Cox Plate Day was the crown of glory. And it was so good because Stephen Arnold was a good friend of mine, and he helped us no end with the horses over the past year before that. And he's just a great fella. And to see him, you know, deservedly get a big race win on a great horse was I reckon that was great.
Around the turn, So You Think by a length. More Joyous is trying her heart out, but she can't go with him. Then came Zipping Ivy in a shootout. Who Be Got You? So You Think with a big lead around the turn. Three in front from More Joyous. Zipping, Who Be Got You flashing home on the outside. But So You Think is three in front. Who Be Got You ran to second from Zipping. But So You Think wins his second. So You Think first. A length and a half. Zipping came back.
Chinnam, he owned Saintly and So You Think. He owned those silks, those famous silks. And funnily enough, at the time of recording this, it's Fan Stakes Week, and that was rebadged the Dato Chan Chinnam Stakes for quite a while. What can you tell us about him and his ownership with horses?
Dato Chan Chinnam is there's a statue of Bart at Flemington. Bart probably should have a statue of Chinnam at his place. You know, he was a great supporter of Bart's, and they used to have a lot of banter and all that sort of stuff, who had the most money, and I'm going to live longer than you and all this sort of stuff, you know. But they were funny fellas when they used to get together, especially after we'd won a race or something. Even when we didn't win a race, we'd still go celebrate. You know, Chinnam had a motto, it's always good to be a good winner, but it's better to be a better loser. So he was a great man, very generous, and acknowledged, not just me, because I was running the stable, the staff, to always acknowledge them, and he was a great man.
Was there any, a great one-liner or funny story you can share with us about Bart, or one that stands out above the rest of them?
There's a lot of them, I tell you.
Maybe even your best memory.
I'll tell you, like I told you, we used to have a drink in the Arvos after he'd look at the horses and that. So this one day, we're having a few drinks and that. And Val's there. Val's getting tired. I want to go home, Bart. So she walks out and gets in the car. And Bart said, get me another drink. So I got him. Next minute, the horn's beeping. I said, I think that's Mrs. Cummins. He said, yeah, she'll be right. He's having a drink. Beep, beep. Next minute, my phone rang. It's Val. She goes, Reg, kick Bart out. I said, I can't. He owns the house. It's his house. And Val goes, Well, I own half and I'm telling you to kick him out.
So you're now with Godolphin, obviously a powerhouse international stable that boasts some of the best horses and facilities in the world. How did you arrive at Godolphin Stables?
When Bart died and that, I was going to go back to Brisbane, right? Because that's where I'm from, and I was going to go back there, and I was half thinking of getting out the caper for about 10 minutes, I thought that. And I was packing up and I was going home, and phone rang. It was John O'Shea, and he rings me. He says, "What are you doing?" I said, "Not much. I'm going to go home soon." He said, "Can you come around Thursday morning? I want to see you." I said, "Okay, no worries." So I go around Thursday, and he just said, "You know, we want you to come on board with us and all that." And I said, "Oh, I haven't had a holiday. I think that was 2014. I hadn't had a holiday since 2001. Because every time the spring carnival would go, yeah. I'd go home, and Bart would say, "Oh, yeah, but we got horses coming in." And next month, rolling to the autumn. Then I'd go to Brisbane and then back again. So I hadn't had a holiday for ages. And I said, "Okay, I'll start, but I said, I want to have a couple of weeks off." So I had a couple of weeks off, and I started on the, I think it was the 1st of January 2015 with them. And having looked back, it's they're a great organisation, look after the staff, no end, and I mean look after them. They're just a professional mob all over. You know, they're as professional as you'll ever get. It's, and I tell the staff, whoever leaves, I said, "Mate, don't go, if you're leaving, don't go working in another stable, because this is the ultimate, you know." And, it's a privilege to work for them.
And now, obviously, the head trainer is James, and obviously the grandson of Bart. Now that, you know, obviously has come full circle. How is that working with James, and just also in that, you know, the 2021 Cox Plate with Animo, and just what the feelings were there that day, you know, and how close he got. Obviously redeemed himself, not redeemed himself, but obviously won in 2022. But how was that build up to 2021 with him and James?
Yeah, well, that horse had a faultless preparation. And, like, I'd known James and his brother Edward. Bart had bring him the stables at Saintly Place, when 10-year-old and some, you know, kids. And they were always good kids, like Anthony and Bernie. James's parents, they're good people. And they've always been good kids. And James has done terrifically well, like, out of this world. And, like, the bloke's still only 21. Well, I think he is.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's done well. But with Animo, he sent him down as a two-year-old to us. And, like, when I was at Bart's, Bart would buy a different sort of horse. Like, he'd buy horses for Cox Plates, Cups, Derbies and all that. They're the sort of horse he's looking for, you know what I mean? Not so much. Well, I think we had one good two-year-old. It was wonderful. He ran third in the Blue Diamond. And I think Empire's Choice, who won the Derby, on fifth in a Golden Slipper. But we didn't have many two-year-olds. So when you come to Godolphin, we've got plenty of two-year-olds. And they turned up, NMO and Ingratiate, and James sent them down. And we got both those horses, their barrier certificates here. And we had them, as, you know, like having their first jump out down the side at Flemington over 2 furlongs. And then to be here on Cox Plate Day as, the, you know, the favourite for the Cox Plate was something I really treasure this. Like, I'll treasure that forever. To have, because we didn't have two-year-olds at Bart's or Tommy Hughes's like we have here. And to see him still turn up a couple of seasons later and win this great race was just sensational.
Around the turn, Zaki joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaki. Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck, but it's Animo clear. I'm Thunderstruck late. Animo holding on. Animo this time for the big A. Won it from I'm Thunderstruck, El Bodegon.
And James has even said to me the next day, he said, "You know what? Yesterday He said, all the good races won. He said, yesterday was like, I won a proper race. And that's what the Cox Plate's about. You know, it's one of the proper races.
Yep.
We go to Hartnell now. He was a real war horse for Godolphin and one of the greats that they've had in modern times. And you are now his lifetime custodian. How awesome is that? And what more can you tell us about Hartnell, the great horse?
Well, Hartnell's, firstly, like, for Godolphin to do that for me was very, very special because I would have been a line-up as long as Puckle Street, to, you know, people wanting him. So, yeah, that he was a great horse, a great warrior, like, run third in the Melbourne Cup, sitting three and four deep the whole way, second in the Cox Plate here to Winks. And he won numerous good races, and like to have him, I can go see him every day. He's at the Patterson's place. At, well, he's not at the moment. He went on Sunday to South Australia for the Royal Adelaide Show, but see him every day, and it's great. Yeah, he was a great horse.
And can you just elaborate a little bit on what his new role is?
Well, he's a show horse. He goes and sort of like in the hack classes and that, you know what I mean? Not to just put him down, but that's what they're called. They're called hacks. And he goes in the show and she rides him around. And yeah, it's sort of like hopefully he can get to the Gary Owen one day. He's going to Melbourne actually this year, Royal Melbourne. So, but she rang me this morning and already got people wanting photos with him and all that. And he went to Aquitana last year, I think it was. We run out of Hartnell caps. We run out of photos. Just, it was unbelievable the people coming and seeing him to get their photo of him. Claire Lindop dropped in and got a photo of him and all this, you know. So, yeah, he's very popular. And, listen, I re-own Precedence, Sirmione, and Hartnell and another horse called Moa. And just long as they have a good life, that's all. You know, I'm worried about if the girls win ribbons with them, that's good. But I think it's better for them than being put in a paddock and, you know, not doing anything because they've been doing something all their life. So, you know, that's why I do it.
And can you just remember the build-up to that 2016, the Cox Plate, and he obviously ran a mighty second, but just that build-up and the media kind of building it up as that match race, does it kind of make its way to you guys in the stable, and do you kind of take it, you know, pay attention to that, or is it kind of just water off a duck's back with, you know, how the media position them? Because I know from our end, we obviously build it up to be that huge race, Winks versus Hartnell.
It's hard not to resonate to all the staff and that, and it's a big build up. Like, it's a big race. It's the Weight for Age Championship of Australia, and Hartnell was flying, and Winks was flying. So yeah, it was great. It was great to be involved with it, with that sort of horse. You know, knowing that we're going to the races, and we got a really good chance. You know, so yeah, it was like when So You Think was running, same thing.
But the two champs go together at the 600 metres. Hartnell's hit the front. Winks is going with him and they've turned it on. The great race is on here. It's Hartnell the leader. Winks striding up to join him from Blackheart Bud, Awesome Rock. The rest headed by Venomous and Yankee Rose. But Winks has raced away around the home turn.
But you haven't asked me about one other Cox Plate horse. Dane Ripper. She always gets forgotten.
Tell us about Dane Ripper.
Dane Ripper was very, very good horse, and she never gets mentioned. She should. She won a Brambles Classic as a two-year-old, won a Stradbroke as a three-year-old, won the Winter Stakes the next week. Come back, she beat Might and Power, fair and square, in a St. George Stakes, giving a start and a beating. And we had Alpha. He was second favourite of the Cox Plate that year. He'd run second to Juggler, I think, in the Caulfield Stakes. But I'd brought Dane Ripper here twice with Catelyn Aitken. And every time she worked here, she worked the joint down. So anyway, they come off the track, we went up in the stalls there, Joe Agresta was on her, and he says, "Reg, what's this in?" And I said, "It's in the Waterford Crystal Mile." And he said, should be in the Cox Plate. Bart snuck up behind us and he goes, what are you talking about? Joe said, it's on Reg, it should be in the Cox Plate, Bart. And he said, well, we can fix that. Anyway, that's how come she was there. But she was, every time we brought her here, was just fantastic. Worked unbelievable.
Philando, the leader on the turn, a neck in front on the outside, encounter fellow down the outside by Vialli and Dane Ripper back to the rail. Philando, the leader, Dane Ripper getting up on the inside. Dane Ripper, the mare, a boil over in the Cox Plate. Dane Ripper wins nearly a length on the line to Philando. Third in a photo is Vialli.
And she never gets the accolades, that mare. She was, and she come back here. I went to Brisbane 1 year, Bart bought a stable and he flew her up there. And anyway, I had her there for 3 months and then I put her on a plane on the Tuesday and she come back here and come to the Valley and she won the Manicato. And, yeah, she was a great, but she don't get the accolades, you know, like the great mares, and in all fairness to them, they are great mares. But she won from, you know, as a two-year-old and she won a Stradbroke, like winner stakes, won a Manicato, right, and a Cox Plate and an Australian Cup to boot, and there's not too many mares can do that. But she don't get the accolades she should have. But she was a great horse.
And just the we talk about the Valley, the days of when you know So You Think was out here and winning his three, and I said the day 2016 Winks Hartnell, the crowd here and that cauldron like atmosphere. Do you obviously notice it and? You know, is this one of your special kind of places to come and watch your horses go around?
Yeah, well, when I come here, I always go down to the corner past the, where the winner comes back in that corner, I always stand there. And the first year he won, the week before, Viewed won the Caulfield Cup, and then he come past and he's won the Cox Plate, and I thought, how good's this? Caulfield Cup and Cox Plate, well, in a matter of a week, you know what I mean? It was just sensational, and then to come back the next year and... You know, it was, you never say that you're over the line, but we knew that they'd have to be pretty good to beat him, you know. And when he put the afterburners on to More Joyous down the side, I thought, good luck.
So recently you were awarded the overall winner of the Thoroughbred Excellence Awards at the Godolphin Stud and Stable Awards, as well as being the recipient of the Dedication to Racing. How good is that to be... You know, for your dedication to be recognised with such prestigious awards.
Yeah, well, I didn't get into this caper to win awards or anything like that. I got into this caper because I liked animals, and my father was born into horse racing, so you're not going to get much money walking dogs every day. So I got into the horses, and it's. A lot of years doing a lot of hard hours, but. I enjoy it. It's not sort of like a job. It's just something I do. But it's all the people that helped me on the way too, like the staff and that. You know, without the stable staff, nothing goes in this caper. You can't have a race meeting without strappers. Try and get all the horses to the races. They're so important. It's not funny. And, you know, I couldn't win those awards if I didn't have great support behind me, you know. But it was a great honour. And the first horse I ever led in... At a race course, I was about 14-year-old. It was at the Gold Coast. I took a horse down called Royal Aztec for a bloke called Albie Pratt, who was a front mate of my dad's. He was having his last start. Anyway, there's some horses beside us. And the bloke come over and said, can the young fella lead one in? Because he had three in the first. So I led this thing in, Claire's Victory, and it won. And the bloke that asked was John Size. Mm-hmm. He was foreman for Henry Davis. And then I won that award at the Gold Coast. So the first horse ever strapped was a winner. It was at the Gold Coast, and I won those awards at the Gold Coast Turf Club. That was where it was. So yeah. I went full circle.
Mm. Looking ahead to, we're in spring now, but the spring carnival. So Pericles is the only Godolphin horse nommed for this year's Ladbrokes Cox Plate. He's 2 from 2 this prep. Is there anything you can tell us about him, and do you think he's a chance of stepping out on here on October 28?
We've always had a high opinion of him. James brought him down last spring, and he'd already earmarked him as the next one on the way up. And he probably was, the races in the spring were probably a little bit too soon for him. But anyway, I've looked after him and he's come back, and like his two wins have been super. He's a progressive horse. So, yeah, we'll just see how he progresses. But he's got a lot of ability and he'll only get better.
Yep.
That's awesome. I think that's all our questions today, Reg. It's been awesome reflecting on some of those great memories. So thank you for coming along today.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Thanks, Reg.
All right.
Cheers. Cheers.
Kingston Town can't win.
Bone Crusher and our Waverley Star, stride for stride.
Cometh the hour, cometh the legend. Winks has done it.